You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, what up, Slack and Trainer?
Yo, this is Justin Bieber.
Hey, it's Ariana Grande. Just the Interviews, a Zach Sang Show exclusive podcast.
It's a Zach Sang Show. We're starting now. We got Heather, we got Dan, we got Leon Thomas.
What's up? I feel good. I feel at home here.
Cool.
Just so comfortable.
That makes me so happy because I've known you for a very long time, and we've never done like an actual sit down, full-fledged conversation.
This setup here is absolutely amazing. I'm just so proud of your growth.
We are
really good friends, past everything else.
Love.
And it's just good to see you winning, man.
Dude, thank you. And same to you. I mean, seriously, since Nickelodeon, I mean, you won a Grammy, bro.
You did?
Thank you, brother. I did, yeah. I worked with Tony Braxton and Babyface. I've been producing under Babyface for the past, I want to say, 4 or 5 years. Even while I was on Victorious, I was just, you know, going to set and then running to, you know, his studio to learn just the ins and outs of production and writing. I'm a big fan of all the songs that he was a part of. I mean, from Whitney Houston to Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a legend. Discovered people like Usher and
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. TLC.
How does that relationship happen? Who introduces who to who?
Well, you know, my life has been kind of interesting, man. It's been really interesting. And Columbia Records put me in the studio with Babyface.
Back originally because Victorious, a majority of the cast had a record deal with Columbia.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Only, you know, a couple songs were released, obviously, one artist was really worked on. But through Columbia, you met Babyface?
Yeah. Through Columbia, I met Babyface. And, you know, we really hit it off. He wanted to do my whole project at the time.
Cool.
And I just wanted to learn how to make magic. I wanted to learn how to do what he was doing. You know, I was just such a huge fan. I mean, my parents, they ran a club day band, and they used to sing all of his songs. So I was very familiar with the work.
Your mom, like, when you tell your mom that, like, Babyface wants to work with you, like, what does she do? I know your mom. I can only imagine.
You know, at some point... You know, I've been extremely blessed my whole life, man, and I've just been walking this destiny, and my mother is extremely proud.
Yeah.
But not to say that it's expected, but she's at a space now where she's extremely proud of me. But she was always just, you know, trying to push for greatness.
Of course.
And it was not expected, but she somewhere in her heart knew that someday we would cross paths.
That's cool. Do you think like Babyface saw himself in you almost, which I kind of understand?
I mean, you know, singer songwriter. I play the guitar.
Yeah,
it's kind of an easy fit. Yeah, but you know. There's big differences, it's just really one of those awesome moments to have a mentor. A lot of people go through this industry figuring it out on their own, and luckily I'm able to kind of ask him questions about just what to do. Like, he's literally seen Diddy become Diddy. He's seen Pharrell become Pharrell, Timbaland become Timbaland, and they all were ready to give him coffee to get him whatever he needed in his heyday. So, you know, I just look up to him as one of the originators of the mold of being more than just an artist. I mean, he's a CEO.
Yes.
I mean, he had an amazing record label, and he also, you know, was able to maintain his stardom throughout the process.
You can't even put like a tangible like amount or like value on that because it is so, it's incredible. I mean, you're just collecting knowledge. Every time.
Yeah. I mean, I called Brand His Way, which is a studio I work out of, that is his secret, you know, bat layer.
It's pretty cool.
It's my college, you know. Yeah. I call that my college because I was in there working every day, learning new things, how to work Pro Tools, Logic, you know, getting it going, just the art of writing a song. And what happened from there is I was able to step into the urban world and, you know, work with artists like Post Malone and, you know, Young Thug and Future and Kanye West. And it'd be like one of those things where they respect, you know, the kind of OG aspect I bring to the writing process or the production process.
Because Babyface is kind of, he's bestowed his knowledge upon
you. Yeah, it's
kind of
embedded in the way that I create now.
So how do you stand out in a room like that, right? When there's people working on a Post Malone record or a Kanye record, what is, like, how do you stand above the rest? How do you cut through?
Well, I write two different ways. You know, sometimes I'll go into the booth and I'll come up with melodies and I'll do what every rapper does and just vibe. Or I'll do the OG approach and I'll sit down in that seat and I'll write a song.
Yeah.
You know, and that is rare right now. People look at you like an alien if you're not like, can I get some auto-tune on that? I mean, I'm like, yeah, I got a little pen or I'm a little phone and I'm just in there like vibing out to the beat. And then I'll go in and sing a song and they're like, what's going on? Like, what's happening?
That's awesome.
So it's just different, you know.
I had no idea you've worked with all these people. So
I'm kind of under the, you know, kind of under the radar. For me, I feel like the braggadocious nature of our society right now, the social media culture is awesome, but I feel like people do a little too much shining for me. They're doing a little too much. It's like, it's getting a little too braggadocious. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather you find out in an interview. I'd rather you find out just looking through the credits, you know, like, because I feel like being online every day, like, I'm working with your favorite artist. I'm this guy. I'm that guy. It doesn't pay my bills. Like, it just makes me look like a jerk.
But doesn't it kind of help you grow as, like, a person in popularity if you're posting pictures in the studio with Kanye or Young Thug or whoever you're working with at the time?
Well, the thing is that the way the industry works right now, the internet has changed everything. I'm not in the studio with these people, you know? Like, they don't even get to learn my name. They don't really get to, we don't get to have that interaction that we would have had in the 70s or in the early 80s. You know, we have Wi-Fi, and I make a beat in my bedroom, or I go to my boy's crib up in PCH, and we create and we vibe, and then that gets sent to so-and-so, and then Kanye will hear it, or Thug will hear it, or Future will hear it, and then it'll just turn into a song, and I'll get my publishing set, and then next thing I know, I got a record out. Yeah, it's just a machine.
And you get a Grammy.
I'm cool with it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get your name on a platinum record, and you're happy.
I know,
you know,
it was so easy.
Which is better for you? Is it the feeling of being in the studio with somebody and having that creative energy and having that artist in there in the moment with you? Or
it's like a first date.
Yeah.
It's a first date. It's hit or miss, man. You know, I mean, the chemistry isn't, you know, it's just one of those things that it could work out. It could be awesome. Or I could be kind of awkward because I'm a child actor. You know, like, I'm not used to social situations. Like, I was homeschooled for the last 2 years of my high school experience. So it's like, you know, it could be super awkward. I'm down, though. Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm a pretty nice guy, man.
I think
you
know, so.
Like, you seem well adjusted.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. You know, I'll figure my life out.
I remember going to the studio and you and Ari were working together. Mm-hmm. And it was the coolest thing ever. You were at Babyface's studio. It was different.
Friends, yeah.
And you did a ton of songs. You did Honeymoon Avenue, which is oh my god.
Yeah,
like I think that was the song you were recording when I showed up there.
Wow.
I mean, the Rascals put their touch on that record.
Man, I mean, it was definitely a different song when it came to us. And we had this idea of adding live strings to it. It was like my first time going to, you know, a studio and having like a, I think we had a 20-piece orchestra just like going at it. You know, we were like, oh, great job, do that again. Like, you know, like, I mean, it felt cool. I didn't even know what to say. Like, great, can we leave now? They're like, no, we just try it again. I'm like, all right, cool. But it's just one of those things where I don't know. It was just awesome working with my friend, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a rare thing. Like I said, you don't know these people. A lot of people have these guards up. They're dealing with leechy, horrible people all the time. Mm-hmm. So when they get into the studio, that should be their safe place. But it just takes time to kind of build that comfortable environment for an artist, you know.
And with you and Ari, I mean, it was easier to get there. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
You obviously had worked together many, many hours before you started.
Yeah. We talked about it. And that's the thing, the power of words. We used to be in that schoolroom speaking about exactly what we wanted. I was telling her about my dreams of being able to rock in the big studios and do my thing, you know. And she was telling me about her big dreams of being like Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey, and it's just really awesome to see that she's went above and beyond, and that even I've been able to go above and beyond what I expected I would be able to do. I mean, I had no idea I'd win a Grammy at 21. Like, that's like not in the cards for most people. They think, you know, maybe one day. I mean, people work their whole lives for that. So I don't know. I mean, we're extremely blessed individuals, and it's awesome when we get a chance to just get creative.
Goosebumps right now.
Because
I think that's something that's shared amongst, you know, the other Victorious kids as well, right? Yeah. Like, you guys did verbalize it. Everybody knew in that cast that, like, people were destined for so much more, right? This is just the starting point for something incredible.
Right. Right. You know? It was definitely an amazing launching pad for all of us, man. We it's funny. I worked with Nickelodeon since I was 13, 12 years old.
Backyardigans.
iCarly. Yeah. And so I literally grew up on the network from Nick Jr. all the way up to Teen Nick. And then I graduated and went into, you know, doing movies and other stuff in the acting world outside of the Nick umbrella. But it was just really awesome to kind of grow up in the industry that way and to have that, you know, big brother obsessed.
When you got Victorious, what did you originally see it as? Did you see it as like a vessel for everything else you wanted to do in life? Or did you see it as a show that you were cool with like doing for like a very, very long time?
Well, I didn't know what to expect when I first got there, because they told me, all right, this is going to be an ensemble show. You know, think not like all that, but just know you're dealing with the Dan Schneider mold. And I'm a huge Kenan and Kel fan. I'm a huge Amanda Show, Drake and Josh. I mean anybody our age knows how amazing Dan Schneider is.
To say genius doesn't even do it justice.
Yeah, I was just blessed to be there. Yeah. I was just thankful.
Talk about somebody else that you want to just gather knowledge from, right?
Yeah,
and just be around and learn from and be in their zone.
To be able to ask questions, man. Yeah. To be able to ask those questions was a blessing in itself, and then to be, you know, a participant in something that great, and to see that people received it as that, you know. Like, I had a kid walk up to me and say, you know, I had nothing, my family was, you know, super poor, man, but you know, you guys made me laugh in times when we were super sad. And it's crazy to see that people, you know, were really affected by this show. They were, you know, it really molded a lot of human beings. Now it's just nuts to even think of that. You know, people grew up with us.
Oh yeah, and I think it was the first. You know, obviously I experienced all of it parallel to like just like whether it was interviewing you guys or working for the network to understand like how big the show actually was. And I think it was the first show really for kids TV that like really exploded with social media as like a very big help to it, right? Like, it was unlike anything. Unmatched before.
Exactly, because we were really around the birth of the social media.
Instagram and YouTube.
Instagram was the thing we were using for filters. Oh. Like, it was literally like, oh, they got these cool filters now. It looks vintage. Cool. I'm signing up too. Yeah. And then, like, now it's this huge thing. People are making all this money off. I'm like, whoa, it's crazy. We were doing it for fun.
It
was a vibe. You know?
Not like, saying Zoe 101 or, like, Drake and Josh weren't, like, game-changing shows, but they weren't around when Instagram and Twitter were really first, building like a mold and like really growing here, and you guys rode that social media wave like huge, and it just
figuring it out.
It added to the show's success.
Oh, it definitely did.
And the fame that went along with it.
Right.
Like in ways that like I think were crazy. Like you guys would draw crowds everywhere you went. Orlando was like the biggest example of that.
That was nuts, man. And I mean Orlando was crazy, but there was an experience that me and Vic had in Germany. That really shaped just my viewpoint of what was going on. Because I mean, we were thinking we were going out there to promote, you know, the album that we had just did for the show, thinking that it was going to be kind of quiet, like not how it was in the States. But when we went out there, man, they were acting like we were the Beatles or something in Berlin. They were banging on the doors and the windows and stuff, and jumping on the car. We were like, whoa, what's happening here? I mean, it was a whole new level of, I guess you would say, fame. And it was just a beautiful experience, man. I was definitely extremely grateful for you know, the opportunity.
Did you see that Victorious video that went viral this week?
Yeah. Actually, I sent that to Liz.
I had sent it to her. Liz.
It was funny because she was the one doing the most talking, just in there spitting, just doing a thing.
But like, do you remember when that was actually like shot? Like when they took that video?
Oh, I remember the whole thing. And you know what's funny about all of that stuff, man? You know, it's just, that was our high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was our high school. So like, we weren't like, that was our classroom. These were our peers. This is what we had to deal with. That was our only real social interactions without, you know, somebody trying to gain something. And you know, it was, you know, of course you're gonna have your ups and downs, but I feel like it's natural, man. It's life. It's life. And it was definitely a funny video. Definitely a funny video, but it doesn't really reflect the nature of the entire experience, because I felt like everything was, for the most part, really dope.
Yeah.
Are you guys all still close? Like, I see pictures of all of you, then it still seems like, I know there was rumors that like, Victoria didn't get along, but like, you guys were at Ariana's concert and she wasn't there. Do you guys right. still all talk?
Well, the thing is, I reach out to Vic. We text. We're not like, first off, most of us are pretty bad with our phones, except for Ariana. She's like, she's attached to the hip with her phone. But like, yes. I know I'm horrible with my phone. My family's like, hey, you good, bro? You breathing? Like, but like, you know, I try to call people. I try to let people know I love them. And
you're
I love
a phone call guy, too.
Yeah, I'm a phone call
guy. We had this discussion.
I love a good old phone call, because we get everything done. All this texting and stuff, it's tough. But, you know, me and Vic, we hopped on a call last year, late last year, and I know we're definitely going to kick it soon. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just tough, man. Everybody's busy getting it in. I mean, I know my time is limited, and I'm just kind of making it work. I'm pretty much my own boss. But, like, for everybody else who's doing their thing, I know it's definitely tough to you know, carve out that personal exactly. old castmate time. Like, you know.
A very political and well-thought-out answer.
Said, yeah.
Hey, man, let me let you know. My mom always used to tell me, she always just say, you know, I think you can be a politician, man.
You really, there you
really
go.
Knock it out. Because, I mean, it's just what it's all about.
And we know? Need some good ones now, so
we
think
do,
about it.
Things are a little rough right now.
Yeah.
It's a little rough. Let's skip that subject.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk
last
music.
Out there.
Let's talk music and what you're writing about, right?
Yeah.
And where you're drawing inspiration, because I think it's interesting. Right. It kind of, like, it draws us into something. You know, some musicians draw inspiration from what's going on around the world and in our society, and
right.
you know, obviously others are dig deep and personal. Where do you go? How do you channel it all?
Well, it's been an interesting experience. You know, I haven't been in a committed relationship in a very long time, just due to my hustle, my grind.
Yeah.
It's been my girlfriend, it's been my fiance, but you know, it's just one of those things where I'm surviving off of old situations to write about.
Okay,
you know,
got it.
Which is interesting. So now I'm in the process of finishing this EP that was about older situations. But now that's wrapping up, I gotta live some life, man.
Yeah.
I gotta live some life, because you know, it's getting to a point where I'm gonna need to start, you know, finding my muse again.
Wait, was she your fiance?
Definitely not.
No,
definitely
I didn't
not.
Think so.
Yeah. No,
I'm not that.
The
music was your fiance.
Music
that's
was his fiance.
My fiance.
So you
like Beyonce? Yeah,
but not.
Yeah, but not at all.
No.
Like, come on, man.
Not even close.
Yeah.
So you live all this life, you let it gather, and then you kind of tear it apart. You dissect it, and then that's where you're pulling songs out of.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when I was in New York, one of my mentors back then. Bob Power, who did Tribe Called Quest, D'Angelo, Erykah Badu, stuff
cool.
like that, right? So I would come there and I would write about my little girlfriends in high school. And he'd be like, all right, no, stop. Don't write your life. And I was like, what? I was like, what? That's the opposite of what everybody told me. He was like, you know, it would just be smart for you to come up with a really amazing concept and work off of that. So for the most part right now, what I focus on more so than anything else is how I'm telling the story. Like,
yeah.
what is the concept? Because that is the meat of the record. Like, you got to know exactly what you're talking about. But past love, past I'm hurt, past, like, how are you going to say that? How are you going to package that so that it's different from the a million other, you know, R&B
yes.
or soulful or even pop artists
yeah.
out here doing their thing and writing songs every day, you know?
So did you write the lyrics to Rendezvous?
Yeah. I wrote them, co-wrote them with my boy Philly Swain, who's a very talented rapper, freestyle rapper, who kind of brought some of the new school patterns to it on the verses.
Cool.
I feel like that is what is needed right now in our society, our ears are trained for you know, those kind of rhythms.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like to have like a second opinion sometimes to say, all right, how can we build something cool, you know?
Of course.
Add some bars in there, kind of, you know.
You need someone to challenge you creatively.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So with all these songs, are you writing them, producing them, singing them?
I write and produce for my stuff personally. I produce and write. Okay. Just about all of it. But I have, you know, collaborators that I love to just work with, you know, people that I work with for other artists. And for the most part, it's usually just, you know, me and my production partner would do a lot of stuff together. You know, my boy JP Rich from the production duo, the Blended Babies. We work a lot just on some really amazing sounds. And I mean, they were very influential in discovering Roe James and Anderson .Paak. And
okay.
So it's like got that real funky live. Yeah. Vibe to it. So it's very different, but I feel like the timing is just right now with artists like Steve Lacy and Daniel Caesar, you know, approaching the forefront of pop culture. It's coming soon. I know the wave is coming.
Yeah.
I've just been like getting my stuff ready. So I know I got a movie coming out. I got a show on HBO I'm filming right now.
Okay.
I want it all to just connect and I'll touch down in the right way.
So do you have, you were mentioning before, and you mentioned the production duo that you did a song for. You've been kind of just lending vocals to song, like tracks that already exist, right? Or you've been just collaborating with some people and putting your vocals on records?
Well, the thing is, for me, I play five instruments, man. So when I'm producing, and I've been producing in Logic for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Actually, what's crazy, most of my placements have been based off of me producing.
Yeah.
You know? So it's been more than lending vocals, but a lot of the stuff that's out right now.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
A lot
right?
of
or
stuff
the stuff that's
out
that's
right
about
now,
to
I've been lending vocals
Got
to
it.
A lot of their, you know, open canvases. You know, I mean, it's just really awesome to see that, you know, they have these worlds I can kind of live in lyrically.
Yes.
And then I'll just kind of do my thing in the meantime
while you have everything else going on.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
So, like, with the stuff that you're just lending your vocals to, right, and you're lending your lyrics to, is the hope that, like, one of those becomes, like, a smash record? Is the hope that one of those breaks through?
I feel like in every creative's mind, you want your work to be successful.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily what it's all about for me. You know, that was a moment in time that we knew the world needed to hear. And the world's hearing it. And
it's
all around. I mean, it's just crazy to see how fast everything is traveling. I'm getting messages from people all over the world saying that they love it, that they're really into it.
That's great.
And that's what it's about, you know, just continuously keeping the ball rolling.
Of course. And with the stuff that you do that's just for you,
mm-hmm.
do we have an EP ready to go? Do we have an album?
EP. It's an EP.
An EP.
You know, I wanted to do an EP first, only because I feel like my first album, I want to be an all live experience.
Okay.
And with that being said, the way that I want to film, I mean, the way that I want to record it is going to be very cinematic and dope, man. I just want it to be like a really good vibe, something that can land in a bunch of movies, something that can, but it's a pretty expensive process to work off the vintage gear I got in mind to do what I have to do. So I just kind of want to just get the back line ready and knock it out when the time is right.
So an EP is going to be first, and it's going to be an album. Are you releasing these both like independently? Is it just you?
Well, EP is something that I'm going to do independently.
Great.
Which is just, I think, the best time. This is the best time to be an independent artist, I think, in the history of music.
It's
so like, it's unbelievable.
They have unparalleled.
Everything set up for you so you can just do it yourself and have fun and tour and, you know, and just be a rock star, do my thing. You know, I think it's going to be a real good time. But I do have that major label vision at some point. I just want to come in with, you know, a ready situation.
Hell yeah.
Video shot, things going on, movies out, TV shows.
Totally get it.
So that I just don't want anybody to have an excuse to overlook what I have to offer.
Yes. Yeah. Well said. Because you've been in situations where people have overlooked what you have to offer, what
it's
others
tough.
Around
it's
you
tough.
Have to
you know,
offer.
You get clumped in with the Glee kids, you get clumped in with the this and the that and the that.
Yeah.
And it's like, not to say that I think I'm just better.
No.
But it's just, I'm just saying I know I have something real to offer the industry.
Yes.
And it's being recognized not just by the Grammy Association, but by my peers.
Dude, that's
by
it.
The people that I've, like, you know, grown up listening to, you know, they're listening to my stuff, not knowing who's doing it, right? Not knowing who's doing it,
and still liking it
and loving it,
yeah.
not liking it, loving it. And that's the thing. It's like, all right, So I see what's going on here. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm gonna just keep hitting. I'm gonna just keep moving. I'm gonna keep getting things going. And in due time, I know I'm gonna be recognized the way I'm supposed to be.
Yes.
Okay. You have any big songs coming out with like any big artists that you can't really talk about, but I'm gonna ask you about it anyway?
Well, I've already kind of talked about some of the bigger stuff. You know, I don't wanna get too ahead of myself, and like, you know, release any crazy information. But you know, working with Rex Kudo, we've got our records out with everybody. It was really unfortunate. Kodak Black, who's in prison right now. He cut a bunch of stuff and Future and Thug, and like I said, Kanye's been taking stuff. But it's just one of those things where nothing is out yet, other than the Thug record Safe that came out.
Cool.
But you know, there's definitely a lot on the way. Me and my production partner have been you know, in talks with Universal Republic too, just with a bunch of their artists, and you know, just making the rounds,
Things are coming.
I've been really acting focused, man. I mean, I knew that leverage was going to be something that was needed moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of got to have that golden nugget to make the industries jealous. I kind of got to keep playing them, like, you know.
You have to.
You kind of got to keep playing them a little bit, because, you know, music gets jealous. They see I'm doing like a movie, a huge film. They see I'm doing a TV show on HBO, and immediately everybody's like, what can we do, you know?
How do we leverage the growth of one asset against another?
Exactly. So for me now, that's just knowing that I was able to get that done. I hit the pavement running, you know, made sure I was prepared for every audition, ready for every opportunity.
Awesome.
And right now I got a lot of stuff under my belt, you know, a pilot for Netflix that hopefully will, you know, go through.
Tell me about this HBO show.
Insecure. It's on its second season. And I'm playing a love interest for the first time.
Cool.
But that's all I'll say.
Okay.
When is it?
Okay, then.
Yeah. Do you have a release date for season 2?
I have no idea what's going on. I'm filming right now, and I don't know if I've already said too much. But like, okay. I'm just vibing.
But you are doing a movie.
Yeah, Detroit. I can't talk about that. But they're even being secretive still for some reason. But
I've heard good things about this movie.
It's amazing, man. I mean, I was on set of that thing. Just my mind was blown every day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're in these situations as an actor where they put the work on you. They tell you, imagine this, imagine that. But that's not what I went through. I went through a full-blown experience that was documented, and it's going to be out there. You'll see it soon. Detroit, it's set in the 1960s. It's about the Detroit riots.
Wow.
And, you know, Miguel's in it with me, Will Poulter, Anthony Mackie.
This is cool.
This is apparently, again,
Lattimore.
A big one, like a really game-changing film.
This is a big one. This is a big one. This is one of those films that you're a part of, and you know, talk about it to your peers, and they go, oh,
yes,
really? Okay, all right. I see what you're doing now. I see what's up, man.
See you.
But the thing is that the public doesn't necessarily know yet, but when it's out, I feel like everybody will get why everybody was so secretive and why, you know, all of these great actors were chosen to be on one project, because it was truly a special story that needs to be told. You know, in our history, we tend to sweep over the nasty parts.
Every time.
And that is one of the ugliest things about our culture. But I'm just really thankful for the fact that Kathryn Bigelow wanted to tell this story, and that I was able to be a part of, you know, cool. My heritage, man. This is what I'm all about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my mom taught Black history, so it's just really amazing to be able to be a part of history in this way, to just tell this story, and you know, sing my heart out. I'm singing through the whole thing.
Are you really?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You're gonna see what's up. You're gonna see what's going on.
Leon Thomas, seriously, man, you are on an incredible journey. And it's so awesome to watch, and to just be in the zone and watch it all happen and unfold. And I read your tweet the other day about seeing your ex-lover. Was it really good to see her?
It was horrible, bro. it was
could have told
cool.
you that.
Yeah, I'm going to just tell you how my life works, man. I feel like, I don't know if there's something spooky going on, but like if I think about something, it'll just like pop up. Or if I really want something deeply, like it'll just show up. And it's interesting. She was kind of in my subconscious, like, for the last couple of days. And then I go to this little party that I wasn't supposed to go to. And I'm sitting there minding my business. And, you know, I glance over and I see her. And I'm like, oh, man. I mean, it's my ex. It was probably one of my first loves. And it was a little cold at first. It was short. But it's just kind of bittersweet, you know, knowing that I knew her so well. And now I'm a bit of a stranger. But, you know, it is what it is. Life is life.
By the way, that's the law of attraction.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about something, putting something out there and it just happening.
The day after that, I'm in a meeting, and she happened to call the A&R I was working with. Crazy, right?
That's
it's just
weird.
Like, out of all the times for her to call, out of all the times, like, right in that meeting, right when I'm sitting there, it's like, crazy.
Maybe this is a sign.
I don't think it's a sign. I think it's
you want to stay away.
It's not something a sign. That happened, you know.
It was a warning.
Something that went down. I don't know if it's a warning either. She's a beautiful girl, awesome person. It's all my fault. Everything's good. I you know, I'm just, you know, I know I got to keep it moving. I have a journey to live. I'm just a big fan of destiny, and I feel something great coming my way. You never know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Leon Thomas, thank you so much for hanging out, my friend.
Really,
the greatest pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
This podcast is part of the Zach Sang Show Podcast Network.